You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Hallickman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Hallickman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops. We bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the northern area, down south, and all the best cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a five-star rating. Write us a nice review. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check us out on social media at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. We are the only Israeli website that does. Wow. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Panathinaikos, incredible series, incredible quarterfinal series. Yellow and blue come up a little short. They fall to Panathinaikos, 81-72 in the decisive game five held at the Oaka Arena. Maccabi Tel Aviv goes down by 9 points. Their season in the EuroLeague is now complete. It is over. They head back to domestic league action, State Cup action. Panathinaikos will make their way in a couple weeks to Berlin for the Final Four. As history holds true, there are now 20 series where the road team is 0-20 in Game 5 action in the EuroLeague. Katash's team kept it close for most of the game. But you saw things starting to, you know, come apart near the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, a disaster zone. We'll get into all of that with my good friend and compatriot, Ben Pask. Ben, how you doing today?
Josh, thanks for having me on. Difficult when a season comes to an end, but at the same time, it would have been a huge upset if Maccabi had been able to win tonight in the circumstances, and especially the season, if we're going to go back a few months to October, obviously after October 7, you'd said that this would be where Maccabi is, where they finished. I think even now we take it, it's not an easy season for anyone in Israel. A lot of people are very disappointed. They'll blame this person or that person for this or that happened in this game or other games. But in the end, it's unbelievable the talk about escapism and having the distraction from everything that goes on that's happening with the war. And just it's sad that this is how the season has come to an end. But I'm also grateful that we have this season and that they may have given us hope at times that it would have gone further to Berlin at the end of the month. But obviously as a fan, disappointed, but at the same time, can't say overall that I'm proud of the team and where they got to this year with all things considered.
Yeah, echo that. Maccabi Tel Aviv obviously had a great season, and I think we'll sum that up at some point, maybe a little bit later in the show, or maybe at another show as well. But I think let's dig into this game a little bit first. I think it's fresh. Maccabi Tel Aviv came out strong. They played Panathinaikos toe to toe throughout the first half. I mean, without a question, they went into the locker rooms 41-41. It was clear that Lasort, the hack of sort, as my good friend Aris Barkas of Eurohoop said, hack of sort was working very nicely for them, because Matthias Lasort, the former Maccabi Tel Aviv player, went 3-for-14 from the line. It was extremely ineffective. I mean, he looked like he was in tears at some points on the bench. I thought he was going to cry. But listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv come out strong. They play them toe-to-toe. Jake Cohn was points early. John DiBartolomeo going from deep. Slukas, had some very nice plays early. And then he was taken out a little bit early. I was surprised that Ergun Ataman took him out 3.5-4 minutes into the game. You saw Nebo and Brown getting points. Maccabi takes a 9-5 lead midway through the first quarter. Papa Petru goes from downtown. Ibakon score inside. Then Kendrick Nunn, he goes from deep. DiBartolomeo answers from deep. Jerian Grant goes from beyond the arc. Hernan Gomez and Slukas score, and Maccabi Tel Aviv leads 21-19 after 10 minutes of play. Going into the second quarter, Nunn and Blatt traded triples to start it off. Jessel Rivero, very effective inside. Nebo as well score. Kendrick Nunn hits a jumper. Brown did the same. Slukas goes from deep. Panathinaikos takes a 32-30 lead, 5 minutes left in the first half. Nebo, he scores. Antonius Cleveland misses this dunk, and the ball goes way up to the ceiling of Oaka and falls right through the hoop. And you think that's like, oh, wow, you know, it's a miracle, and maybe God's on the Maccabi's side at this point. James Webb even hits a deep shot from deep. Rivero again, but Slukas, Papapetru come back with points. 41-41 at halftime. Brown, Papapetru score for their respective teams to begin the third quarter. Bonzi Colson with an awful game. We'll get to that shortly. He goes from deep. Nunn does the same. Slukas, DiBartolomeo trade triples. 49-49 midway through the third period. Nebo, Hernan Gomez, Blatt all score. Panathinaikos takes a slim lead after 30 minutes, 58-56. And Hernan Gomez, you know, who had been much maligned this entire season, actually had an incredible game today. And we'll get to that as well. One of the reasons why the Juan Slukas played under 20 minutes, you should know, also something. Now then you start off the fourth quarter, and Kalatzakis, who, you know, hadn't really played much, he hits a three-pointer, or he scores, excuse me. Nunn hits a three-pointer. Brown comes back, Blatt comes back, but then Nunn scores again. Brown goes for deep for a pair, Lasort scores a pair inside. Nunn goes downtown, 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 and they send Maccabi packing. At the end of the game, Ben Pass with a final score again of 81-72. It took Maccabi Tel Aviv forever and a half to score the first field goal in the fourth quarter. It took them about 4 minutes or so to score. And if you're not going to score in your, you know, in the fourth quarter of a decisive game five in the first 4 minutes, you know that you're going to be in trouble. And I know there were some fouls that were questionable. I know that John DiBartolomeo was called for a flop that was, I don't believe it was a flop in a million years. am I wrong, Ben?
No, you're not. It was unbelievable. Katash running on the sideline, getting a technical.
John gets a technical. I mean, like, but this is, you know, listen, I had this discussion with Roy Jankulovic from Israel Sport. And we said, we saw this at the end of last game also. In the fourth quarter, you know, Maccabi didn't lose because of this, but they picked up five quick fouls in the first 2.5 minutes of game four, fourth quarter. And, you know, that rattles the team. Now, that's not why they lost, but these fouls rattle the team. And I'm not saying that's why they lost, but let's look at the stats now, Ben Pass. Let's go through the players here. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Cleveland, 2 points in 15 minutes. That's not going to be enough. James Webb, 3 points in 13 minutes. Not enough. Lorenzo Brown, 19.7 assists in 33 and a half minutes. Menko doesn't play. Roman Sorkin doesn't play. And you know, I don't know what the whole story is with Roman Sorkin. Sick or not sick. I don't get it. For the second year.
He hasn't been good the whole series. I don't think any of us were surprised that he didn't get any minutes. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think there's something else going on there. I don't know. There's something's not. Listening to one of the podcasts today, you know, the hips, you know, people saying the Sorkin was sick, and they're saying, well, Sorkin really wasn't sick. I don't know. Anyways, who knows what the real story is over there? John DiBartolomeo, 9 points in 26 minutes. You know, he, you know, did what he had to do. Rivero, 8 points in 14 minutes. Jake Cohen, 4 points in 16. Thomas, of course, didn't play. 30 minutes for Nebo, 14 points, 6 for 10 for the field. Tamir Blatt, 9 points in 20 minutes. Bonzi Colson, 31 minutes, 4 points. Now, if you have to put a circle around one of the players there, it's got to be Bonzi Colson, Ben.
Yeah, he was didn't not there up. At all.
One for eight. No, for three. No, the guy didn't show up.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
One field goal from 11 shots. He had 0-3 from two. And 1-2.
Three rebounds, no assists. He did nothing. I mean, he was a disaster. I don't, you know, if you're gonna put a big red circle around one player, that it's gotta be him. I mean, I know that, you know, Cleveland with 2 points, not enough. Webb with three, not enough. I get all that. But Colson with 4 points, you know, that's one of your big three. And you know your big one is not playing Wade Baldwin because he's injured. Bonzi Colson had to step up, and he just didn't. And he just – it was a disaster.
Yeah, look, it's just overall, it was similar, like you said, similar last game, but even looking at the way that Aware McCarvey got out into the first quarter, had the lead 21-19, and then Panathinaikos won the next three quarters, 22-20, 17-15, yep, and 23-16. And it was, you know, you can't win a game, like you said, you're not scoring. And you know why they weren't scoring, though? The Panathinaikos, their defense in the last quarter looked as good as it had been the whole series.
Yes, that's get very a good true. Shot. That's very true.
I was just, when they say the, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships, and I'm not saying the Panathinaikos is going to win the EuroLeague, but wow, their last quarter, their defense, like McCarvey just couldn't find good shots. They just played the defense well. Kalitsakis in the coming on, and you know he didn't do much offensively, but defensively he put the pressure on in that last quarter, and that is what won it for them the pressure on the defense.
You know, Ben, let's look at the scoring from Panathinaikos. Kalitsakis, 13 minutes, 2 points, but again his defense, he didn't play much the first three quarters. His defense in the last quarter was stellar. Two steals on top of that. Kostas Lucas did not play 20 minutes, 19:38. He was benched for a fair amount of that fourth quarter. And you know why he was benched? Because he didn't want him out there on the matchups on defense, offense. He needed defense. And listen, Ataman, he's won two Euro leagues. He'll say he won three. There's a reason why he won those, and he checkmated Oded Katsas in that fourth quarter. 15 points in 19:38, six rebounds, two assists, two steals. Papapetru, 29 minutes, 10 points. And he's had a tough season. He came up big. Jerian Grant, 3 points, 14 minutes, three rebounds, four assists. Kendrick Nunn, what are you going to say? 38-20, 26 points. The guy's a monster, 6 for 10 from three. You wonder why he's not playing on the NBA. Matthias Lassorte.
I think I can think of $2.5 million reasons why he's not.
Yeah. I can think of those same $2.5 million reasons also. There was a report right after the game that he signed a 2-year extension, so whatever. Matthias Lassorte, 9 points and 11 rebounds in 35 minutes. Of course, he went 3 for 14 from the line. Kratos Antetokounmpo and Marius Grigotis, they made some cameos. Juancho Hernangómez, 11 points. Konstantinos Mitologou, 3 points in 25 minutes. But let's be honest, Hernangómez had a heroic game today after, you know, bearing a lot of brunt from Ataman. And Mitologou killed Maccabi in that fourth quarter defensively. Killed them.
Mm-hmm.
Killed them. 7 rebounds. You look at the rebounds here, Ben. Now, these are sad numbers for Maccabi. I mean, I have a lot of sad numbers for Maccabi. They gave up 41 rebounds, 19 offensive rebounds, 19. You're not going to win when you get 19 offensive rebounds. Maccabi, 33 rebounds, 13 offensive, 20 defensive, 17 assists for Maccabi, 15 assists for Panathinaikos. The other number that's a killer, and again, we'll take Lassorte's, you'll take 14 shots into account here, right? Panathinaikos had 35 three free throws, 21 for 35. If we take Lassorte out of there, they had 21 free throws. Maccabi had 10 free throws. So now I know you have to take kind of Lassorte out because they, you know, a lot of them were packed out of Lassorte. I get that. Maybe half of them were, at least half of them, maybe eight, maybe even 60%. But the foul calls in Maccabi, when we saw Brown come up to the line in the fourth quarter, I was like, wow, I haven't seen this all game. You know, listen, the referees can control the games in certain fashions. And I'm not saying that they're the reason why Maccabi Tel Aviv lost here, but there were definitely some very hometown odd calls. It is what it is. What am I going to say? I'm not going to cry over.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
I'm not going to, you know.
I wouldn't get into it.
24-17 on the foul calls. I mean, again, a lot of those, if you look at Lassorte, eight of those are on the sword. So, you know, Maccabi didn't go to the basket enough. Jake Cohen dribbling is painful to watch near the end when he lost the flubbed up and lost the ball. It's not what you want to see Jake Cohen do. I would have really liked to have seen Roman Sorkin play in this game. They went 10 for 24 from deep. That's pretty good. Those are good numbers. I think he over-relied on James Webb a little bit in this game. Could have played Menko, but he wasn't going to. I understand that. What are you going to do? I mean, that's it. Maccabi Tel Aviv falls 3-2 for the second year in a row. And you have to wonder if it's going to be another 10 years until Maccabi Tel Aviv has such a good run. You wonder why Maccabi Tel Aviv hasn't given Oded Katash an extension yet. You wonder if Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to be playing home EuroLeague games next season. These are big questions, and that's going to determine a lot of what's going to happen with Maccabi Tel Aviv.
No one wants to play for everyone. If you're not playing in the NBA, I think the next best thing is the EuroLeague, but no one wants to play in the EuroLeague if you're not playing games in front of a home crowd. It would not be Tel Aviv is the place where people want to play, not Belgrade. If they want to play in Belgrade, they go to Red Star or to Partizan, not to Maccabi. But again, it'll be interesting to see what happens. There are more important things than basketball, but obviously, like I said at the other show, it's the escapism. It gives us a lot of distractions from what's going on around us. It's really important for that reason. But we'll see what will happen, I'm sure, in the coming months, or what will be revealed.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to find out very soon what's going to be with Maccabi Tel Aviv going through next season. Listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv had a stellar year, all in all, to finish in the play-in and then to, destroy Baskonia, go to the playoffs was, really... quite incredible. I was in Belgrade for a game against Panathinaikos, not in the playoffs, but the regular season game, which Maccabi did win. It was back in COVID. You're playing in an empty gym. It was, not pleasant for everybody. I feel for the players. I get it. They're professionals. We could say they're professionals and it's their job and they have to do all these things. I don't think anybody, on one hand, you're going to say, anytime you sign a contract with Maccabi Tel Aviv, anything can happen because you're in the Middle East and you're in a tinderbox. But I don't think any of these players ever thought in their wildest dreams that they were going to be playing their home games in Belgrade this year. I think that in their wildest dreams, if somebody would have told them this point last year that, hey, what do you think the odds are this is going to happen? They would look like, what are you talking about, man? So you have to put it all in all into perspective. Wade Baldwin had a tremendous season. If you're looking at an MVP for Maccabi Tel Aviv in the EuroLeague, it's hands down Wade Baldwin. Not to say that Lorenzo Brown didn't have a good season. He was okay, but he was hurt for a lot of it. Maccabi Tel Aviv, they did everything that they could in their power to be in the position that they are in. They didn't hang their heads. And they came away with a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant EuroLeague season, without a doubt. And you look at the statistics on the Maccabi players. Again, for the season, Wade Baldwin, 17.5 points, 2.5 rebounds, 4.9 assists, just tremendous numbers. Lorenzo Brown, 13.2 points, 11.2 points from Josh Nebo, 12.6 from Bonzi Colson. Josh Nebo has written himself a contract wherever he wants to go. He will not be with Maccabi next year, I can guarantee you that. We know that Wade Baldwin and Lorenzo still have a year on their contracts. So it will be interesting to see what will happen. The same thing with Bonzi Colson. Obviously, all three of those players, if Maccabi Tel Aviv want to sell them, will have no problem making a nice bank on them. And Maccabi Tel Aviv is going to have to, for most probably, those players are going to be gone. I mean, we know that we still have an Israeli season to go, and there's a cup game on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're going to be pretty disappointed going into play at the Kiryat Atta on Friday. That's for sure. I don't know how many of the players on the team are going to stay. You got to figure most of the Israelis will stay. But I don't know if, you know, if they're going to play in Belgrade. I don't know if a player like John DiBartolomeo or Jake Cohen at their age are going to want to do that at this point, which I understand. But you got to figure Tamir Blatt's going to be back. Oliver Meyer's going to be there. Roman Sorkin, Rafi Menko. Those guys will be there. I've had to guess Antonius Cleveland will probably be offered a contract to stay. After that, it's all open. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to be. I think there are a lot of players right now that are in these. There are a number. I won't say a lot. There are a number of players in the Israeli league that Maccabi Tel Aviv may want to look at. If it's Nuni Omot or Mangok Mathiang, those are a couple of players that I definitely would, you know, try to take a look see.
You liked them when we saw them on Friday for Ramakan. You liked their play.
Yeah, I did like them. I did like them. And I think that they're going to have a problem. I think they're going to have a problem finding players. I think they will find players, but they're going to have to really dig deep into guys that want to take a step up that other EuroLeague teams wouldn't want to take a chance on. In order, you know, these guys will take the chance and say, you know what, if we have to play in Belgrade, we're going to do that because it's going to lead me to a better situation. There's been rumors that Justin Anderson, who I did an interview with through Valencia, he's, you know, being looked at. But, you know, again, he may be being looked at, but who knows if he'd want to come to Maccabi Tel Aviv after being in the NBA. I don't know. So there's a lot of questions. The EuroLeague's going to have to make a decision probably sooner rather than later because they know that the signing period is, you know, really going to open up. It already has opened. And the EuroLeague Final Four is going to be in Berlin in a couple of weeks. There's a lot to go, Ben. There's a lot of work to do.
Lots of questions. And I think I'm just seeing now, just sort of, message in another group that Brown just said he Baldwin and Colson are staying for next season. Again, it's an emotional time now after the game, after the loss, and they've been so through so much together over the season. I agree with you. If they stick around, that'd be great. But would not be surprised if they Well, what you said, a lot of players leaving, but like what you said, it's going to be difficult for Maccabi to sign players. It already is difficult when you look at the budgets of other teams. It's just going to be a lot more difficult now. Yeah. So,
and they'll be able to find players. They're going to find players, and I think that they'll be able to build a decent squad. I have no doubt about that. I think they'll build a decent squad. I think that, and this is, again, this is figuring that they're going to play in Belgrade and they're not going to have the three big players, Wade, Lorenzo, and Bonzi with them. You know, I think that there are good players out there. I think that Maccabi Tel Aviv will challenge for a play-in spot without a question. I have no doubt. I'll say this. If Oded Kantash is the head coach, I have no doubt that they'll challenge for a play-in spot.
Mm.
That I have no doubt. I'm curious to know why they haven't, or if the extension's coming, why it hasn't happened yet. Last year it happened, of course, you know, during the playoffs. Maybe they wanted to wait a little bit. Not 100% sure, but it is what it is. It is, Ben. Obviously disappointing for Israeli basketball to have Maccabi Tel Aviv knocked out. I think you mentioned before, it gave people an escape. It was very hard to concentrate on Maccabi in October, I'll tell you that. It was not easy. It was not easy. But I think, in that first game they played in Valencia was, basically they were walking around like zombies and ghosts. And then they come back on Friday and they win in overtime against Panathinaikos Adowaka. And I'm sure that put a lot of smiles on people's faces, knowing, you know, that maybe there's a little hope, and, you know, just in general, that, you know, that it was a little bit of light for, you know, fans that obviously suffered the losses of loved ones and are still going through a trial and tribulation with the situation, with the ongoing war with Hamas right now, Ben.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, especially now that I'm sure there'll be articles about it and talk about maybe going forward, but with, you know, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut coming as well, it's nice to have these distractions. And I hope that I know for me and for you as well, the Israeli League and the Cup continue to provide us with distractions. But a lot of people, the center point of the season is the Euro League, and now that's over, no Israeli team is left in European competition now. It's sad, but again, it's for us, at least, it's not our career. It's only a game, and more important things are unfortunately happening here right now. And I just hope that the basketball can continue to give at least some of us something to distract us from that and to lift our spirits.
Ben, wow. It's I don't know what else to say. You know, you said it's sad. You know, when a season ends, it's always it always feels that way. And I'm not just talking about the early season. You know, when the baseball season ends in the fall, you know, there's always a disappointment when the hockey season ends. You know, if my Montreal Canadiens, for their season already ended a month ago, or right? It seemed almost 3 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago at this point. So there's you have this feeling of, you know, that it's over, right? But again, well, it comes back every year. And, you know, God willing, that the Maccabi Tel Aviv will be back in the EuroLeague next year. Nothing's certain. You know, let's just say it that way. Nothing in this world is certain. And we saw that on October 7th. We are seeing, shades of the Holocaust. In a lot of different aspects, and anti-Semitism that, Ben, I think you and I never thought we would kind of see in our lifetime, but yet we are seeing it across the world right now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's unfortunate, but still got basketball here to distract us, and got some games coming up in the Israeli League and in the State Cup. Do you want to talk about those?
Sure, fire away.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the State Cup at least, because it's a chance for me to take my daughter to a game, a Friday afternoon game, Maccabi hosting Kiryat Atta at the Yad Eliyahu. And then you've got Thursday evening, Hapoel Be'er Sheva against Hapoel Yerushalayim, semifinals, yep. And the winner will go through to the final next week.
Yes.
Next Thursday night, I believe.
Yeah, so it's coming fast and furious. There were 5 Israeli League games over the last 2 days, and we'll just quickly go through them. Hapoel Haifa, with 6 men, come back with a crazy fourth quarter to defeat Hapoel Be'er Sheva 93-89. I think Be'er Sheva was stunned. They didn't know what hit them. Jerusalem demolished Kiryat Atta 84-67. Kiryat Atta playing without their star, James Bateman. We'll see if he's going to play in the State Cup, but he's injured. Hapoel Tel Aviv, 79-59 winners over Hapoel Holon. Hapoel Holon looked awful. That was a game I was at earlier this evening in Jerusalem, because it was a Radius game. And not that Hapoel Tel Aviv looked great, but they're starting to show an identity of Stefanos Dedas. They're playing tougher defense. They're executing a game plan, and Hapoel Holon were just awful. They were terrible. And I felt so bad for Amit Sheriff when he came into the press conference, because the guy didn't know what to say. And I know that they beat Maccabi's a third squad of Maccabi on Saturday night, but boy, it was rough. I hated to ask him the questions I did, but You know, you got to do what you got to do in these cases. They had a crazy game. Netziona defeats Hapoel Eilat 85-79. Eilat was up by almost 20 points in this game, up 13 points at halftime. New head coach Netziona, Meir Tapiro, must have ripped into his players because they ripped off 24-9 third quarter, and they rolled to the win. Isaiah Whitehead with 20-something points, 22 points, I believe. Maybe Meir Tapiro can unlock Whitehead's potential, something that Elad Hassin was definitely had trouble doing. And then the final game, Hapoel Gan Elyon, 85-82 winners over Hapoel Afula. And Afula was ahead in this game for most part, I mean, up until the last minute. And Gan Elyon, Roy Huber hits a three-pointer to take 83-82 lead. James Feldheim hits a couple of free throws, and they win 85-82. But it's not just that. Gan Elyon made wholesale changes to their roster, and they were playing shorthanded all year. And right now, they have four foreign players that are like really good. Like all of a sudden, they signed DJ Kennedy, who's played for the club and has played in the Euro Cup and is a solid professional. Javante Redick, who has played for Kiritata in the past and solid player. They bring him in. Shaq Buchanan, who had you know ran hot and cold with Nessiona last season, but still had a very good year, comes in now and had 14 points for them. And James Feldheim has been really their anchor all year long. It was just kind of odd. Like it's funny because it's near the end of the season, and now Barak Peleg has a full team. And if you look at the standings right now, it's crazy. Beersheba is in the basement with 6 wins. Eilat is in 12th with 7 wins. Gan Elyon with 7 wins as well. Netziona with 10. Afula with 11. 11 B'nai Herzliya. Hapoel Haifa with 12. Kiryat Ata in 6th place with 12. Hapoel Holon 14 wins. Jerusalem 16. Ramat Gan 18. 19 for Hapoel Tel Aviv. 21 for Maccabi Tel Aviv. Ben, any final comments, final thoughts?
I think it's amazing the Gan Elyon is where they're at. Like they're close to the bottom, but everything for those overseas, we get you know, you get notifications when there are rockets and everything happening every single day. Rockets from the north, from and friends Hezbollah, and you see sirens in Gan Elyon. It's unbelievable with everything they've had to do, moving around the country, etc., and to be where they're at and. To see what they've had to go through and for Barak Peleg to be able to do what he has been able to do with the team that has changed a lot. I think it's definitely a credit to him and for everything they've been doing. If they can stay up and not finish bottom of the table, it's amazing.
All right, Ben Pass, where can people reach out to you?
Get me on Twitter or on Instagram at BPASK85.
Of course, me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Make sure you read all the post-game stuff. We'll have some, follow-up articles coming out. And, stay with us for the rest of the season. There's still plenty of basketball to go. And, then we'll go into the off-season and we'll talk about all the signings. There'll be a lot of news. Ben Pask, thanks a lot for coming on board. And, what can I say? We'll speak to you very soon.